Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, I want you to notice verse 5 of this text. The prophet Isaiah is given a picture from God of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. Verse 5 says, "They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web." The word cockatrice is an old English word for viper or poisonous snake. And of course, you know, the only thing more disconcerting and or creepy than spider's webs or a bunch of poisonous snake eggs. I'll put it this way. Suppose you're looking to buy a house from a realtor, and when he shows the house to you, you keep running into and you stepping onto a bunch of black widow spider webs and rattlesnake eggs. And you're showing the house around, and you know, over here, he says, just past the kitchen, he wipes away a bunch of spider webs from his face. And over here is the baby nursery, and of course there too it's filled with spider webs and black mamba eggs and so forth. They're everywhere. Not even Pobiac could sell that house. So what's God saying? Well, verse 5 again, look at it. "He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper." In other words, if you eat the eggs, you're going to die, either of malnutrition or poison. If you step on them, then you are going to bring another viper into the world prematurely. Snake eggs are just bad all the way around. And yet, this is what God says that his nation was hatching all over society. That's not all. Look at verse 6. "Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works." Their works are works of iniquity. In other words, look, their very works and deeds that they were so proud of were nothing but inadequate, unappealing, creepy spider webs. By the way, why is that? Why are spider webs so creepy in the first place, right? You know, I made the mistake. I remember a few years ago one night running through my backyard past our two big citrus trees. And I wanted to close the gate that had come open, and it was nighttime. It was pitch black outside. And as I ran, I was engulfed, my whole head engulfed in a giant spider web. And so what's the problem with that? Well, spider webs equal spiders. And these spiders in my house that night, when you shined a flashlight on them, their eyes glowed. And they were everywhere. Imagine, then, if you don't have a flashlight. Well, here's our text. Notice verse 10. "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble in the noonday as if we had no eyes." Well, folks, vipers and spiders are bad enough, but both of them in the darkness. I mean, folks, this is the stuff of nightmares. And the truth is, a lot of people in this nation were making their own nightmares. So, is everyone here today sufficiently grossed out and disturbed? Well, I hope so, because that's the picture of any society that turns its back on God and on God's word. Just before our text, you'll notice Isaiah is called in chapter 58 in verse 1 to, quote, "cry aloud, to lift up his voice like a trumpet, to spare not and show his people." Why? Because God has a message for those in a society who would ever turn away from him. And also, God has a message for those in that very same society who have not turned away from him. And included in that message are four things God wants us to remember on this Lord's Day morning and throughout the entire year of 2021. There are four things he promises to those who are in the midst of any country, any nation that's groping in the darkness. If you're wondering this morning what it was that the nation of Israel was doing that caused the Lord to liken their society to vipers, eggs, and spiders' webs, then really all you have to do is read the litany of indictments that he gives in the chapter. You see verse 3? "Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath uttered perverseness." Look, nobody's telling the truth. Innocent people are being killed. Their words are full of perversion. It just sounds like Planned Parenthood, mainstream media, Hollywood. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanities, and they speak what? They speak lies. By the way, did you know this? Did you know that whenever a nation, a society turns away from God, that always, by default, they are turning unto lies? Rejecting the truth of the gospel, even just Judeo-Christian truths of Scripture, turning from that doesn't mean that you now think and believe in a vacuum, or you believe in so-called science. No, it means that you will ultimately swim in a sea of falsehood. False religion that alters and attempts to repudiate the Word of God. Nihilism, perversion, inequity. All of these lies are what people embrace whenever God's truth is rejected. I read off and on where our government and school officials are frustrated now. They're just absolutely perplexed because they cannot understand why middle-class American youth are so fearful, so unhappy. The suicide rates and the rates of depression are skyrocketing in America. Why? And they're saying, why? We don't understand. Well, I can tell them why. It begins in K-4 in grade school, where they force feed these same kids the narrative that prayer and scripture and truth, the Ten Commandments and Christian principles are no longer wanted and or needed in the public discourse. Secularism is where it all began 50 years ago. There was an article some time ago in the news about a growing number of elementary school kids. We're talking grade school kids that are now caught up in this fad because it's becoming popular for them, little kids, to question or self-identify their gender other than their biological birth. Where does that come from? Now look, there's a small group of crazies that celebrate that trend, but even the psychologists that I read in that article were very disturbed by it. But here's the problem. They're the ones who hatch the eggs. Those psychologists are the very ones who spun these webs. Because you cannot turn from God without turning unto lies. Something else about a society of snake eggs and spider webs. Verse 15. He says, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Now wait a minute, follow this. Think about that statement. He that departeth from evil, that's you, you're a child of God, you were saved. God's delivered you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The statement says, anybody who departs from evil maketh himself a prey. That means he's a target, he's hunted, he's relieved of duty, fired from his job, cut from the team, disinvited to the party, fined by the government. In Isaiah's day, arrested and put in jail. Now folks, in what kind of a world does a person who, quote, departs from evil then and therefore gets punished for that? If you believe that a serial murderer of children should get the death penalty, you're the bad person now. As of just 2 days ago, you're the bad person now. You're the prey. If you believe that life in the womb is sacred, somehow you're the prey. If you believe that marriage is God's domain and thus sacred, you're hunted. Only a nation that gropes for the wall because they're blind ever thinks this way. And yes, that nation and people 2,600 years ago was the nation of Israel. God's people who had long been blessed with God's word. Look at verse 10 again. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. Pastor, what's that describing? For me, it's describing five letters, MSNBC, and a few others. And so it goes. We're over and again in Isaiah 59, God describes why he calls it a land of people who are groping in the darkness. Israel was in spiritual decline. The question is, hear this, what about those who depart from evil? What about those who at the very least, they don't want to hatch spiders' eggs, vipers' eggs, and
spider's webs throughout the land. What about the believer who becomes the prey? Well, as we noted, there are four promises here. They're promises that are made by our God that I hope we will remember throughout this coming year, and they're truths about God himself. The first one you'll notice, number one, is that God sees. Look at verse 15, would you? Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. You say, is that important? Follow this. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. There was no judgment. Verse 16, he repeats it. And he saw that there was no man. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and you're thinking, Pastor, people who depart from evil are the enemy? Why? I can tell you why right now. And God's word is going to tell you why you shouldn't fret it. You know, those of you in your cars right now who have a smartphone, or if you're listening at home and you have a tablet or a device, I want you to grab it. I want you to get it, and I want you to go to Google search for a moment. Would you do that? And on the news part of it. So go to Google. Go on the news tab. And if you don't have it, it doesn't matter. Just listen for a moment. Because yesterday there was a church bombing. Not graffiti. Not a broken window. Not vandalism. A bomb went off in a church in LA County in a poor area of town. It was a mostly Hispanic, independent Baptist church. By the way, not my favorite style of a Baptist church. I'm not a fan of all of their methods and these kinds of guys. Never have been, ever. But you know something? Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. This church was bombed with an IED yesterday for one reason. Those of you in Google News, I just want you to type two words and do a search. Ready? The words are church bombing news. Now I want you to notice the top news stories and sources and how the bombing is reported in every case. Number one, you'll notice, is New York Times. Quote, bombing at California church known for its anti-LGBTQ views. Number two, Washington Post. California church known for its LGBTQ beliefs is bombed. Number three, NBC News. FBI investigates explosion at anti-LGBTQ church in California. What is an anti-LGBTQ church? Well, it's a church that believes the Bible. Beloved, listen, isn't every Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church and believer guilty of being, quote, anti-LGBTQ? Of course. Put your phone down. Don't want to read the article. Assignment is over, okay? You can read it later. The point is this. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Isaiah said that in some nations, those who depart from evil become the prey. You know, there was a day when a church bombing brought outrage. Not because of what the church might or might not believe. Just because it was bombing a church. They become the prey. They become the bad guys. And then he says, but God sees it, all of it, always. And maybe you're listening this morning and you're thinking, well, what difference does that make, Pastor? What difference that there's injustice and falsehood and perverseness, and the godly are made into a prey. There are all kinds of people hatching snake eggs in America. But what's the point that the God in heaven sees what's going on? The point is simply this, beloved. God sees it. It doesn't say the Attorney General sees it. It doesn't say the FBI sees it. It doesn't say ABC News sees it. It doesn't say the Supreme Court sees it. It doesn't say that some mysterious guy named Q sees it in the halls of the White House or whatever. What it says is that when there's injustice and falsehood and an all-out assault upon God's truth, it says in the land of Israel that the Lord saw it. You'll notice in verse 15 that it's all capital letters. That means it's Jehovah. That's always a reminder of God's covenant. It's the covenant promised name of God. So that, look, it makes all the difference in the world when you know, as a child of the Heavenly Father, a child of God, that no matter what's going on in the world, the omniscient, omnipotent, and immutable God sees exactly what's happening. You've heard me tell, I'm sure more than once, of when I had my kite stolen in Turkey. We were growing up in Turkey. I was in the third grade, been there 3 years. And I had a kite. And I was flying it up in the sky, and we had this big fence that separated the base from the civilians. And it went over into Turkish airspace, so to speak. And those little Turkish kids wanted it. But it was way up there. I just laughed at them. I could speak Turkish back then. But Ina Kukma, it was like my kite. But they were ingenious. They tied a rock to a string, threw it over my string, and pulled the kite down. And the whole time I'm seeing it going down, I'm panicked and humiliated and angry and all of it. And then they were saying, go home, Yankee, and stuff like that. And they stole my kite. And I was full of rage for the injustice that was being brought upon me. And you know, I noticed on that day, the thing that made the difference for me was my father was right over here. He was watching it, all of it. Dad saw it, and I would look at Dad, and he would just smile at me. I think he thought it was pretty ingenious. And I was getting what I deserved for taunting them or whatever. I don't know. But just the fact that I knew he was the one who provided the kite. He was the one who could buy me another one if I needed one. He was the one who could have stopped that. Those kids were always scared of airmen in their uniform, had he wanted to. Beloved, it matters in a world of injustice when you simply know that your Father in heaven sees it. He sees all of it. One of the most oft-repeated truths in the Bible is that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Or as the Lord Jesus himself said it, he sees the sparrow that falls. 2021, whatever it holds, remember this always. Your Father in heaven sees it. Which brings us to the second truth. Number one, he sees. Number two, he subdues. Look at verse 16, would you, quickly. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. And then verse 19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord and his glory from the rising of the sun. In other words, folks, you don't have to be a deist. You know, deism makes the mistake of equating inaction with inability or with disinterest. Deism says that God is merely an observer, but nothing is further from the truth. You know, my dad used to say, lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Clearly, he heard that from an officer, right? Well, you know what? Lack of patience on our part, lack of faith on our part, lack of joy or hope on our part does not constitute unconcern or inactivity on God's part. Robert Ingersoll, the famous atheist of the last century, was famous for stopping in the middle of his lectures. And he would stop after saying something that was especially blasphemous, boastful words against God. And he would say, he would put a little stopwatch on the podium, and he would say, I will now give God, if there's a so-called God, 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things that I've just said. And after 5 minutes, he would remind his audience that his life was proof that God did not exist. Theodore Parker, the great, brilliant teacher and preacher, was teaching in university where he was. He went to hear him, and they asked him about it afterwards. And his quote to the newspaper was this: did the gentleman think that he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in just 5 minutes? And you know, for the record, Robert Ingersoll died on July 21st, 1899, and he was just 65 years old. God sees and God subdues. Number three. You'll notice the truth that also God saves. It doesn't matter that people are groping in darkness. God still saves. Look at verse 1. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that it cannot save. In other words, you realize that even if the entire landscape is filled with snake eggs, spider webs, and groping people, even when it seems where truth has fallen the street, and that nothing can be done, I'll remind you that God's hand is never shortened, that it cannot reach down to the lowest of the low and rescue a sinner. You know, 2020 was a really bad year in the hearts and minds of a whole lot of people, but not for the multitudes of people who came to Christ last year. Not for the many multitudes whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, for those who were born into the family of God. Their birthday, for their second birth, which is eternal, was in the year 2020. And can I just add this? 2020 was also not a year of tragedy for Jim McLean or Jim Thompson. Gloria's here today. And so many others who, when they fell asleep down here in this world, they woke up in glory. Yeah, amen. For 2020, for many, it was a glorious year. To him who bled without the gate will go, his reproach will bear. His hand not shortened to save, nor heavy is his ear. Remember that. Remember this in all of 2021. Verse 16, and he saw, therefore his arm is not shortened, therefore he brought his salvation. He sees, he subdues, he saves. Finally, I want you to notice, and what may be the single most important truth of all, and that is he speaks. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service today, look, open your hearts because God wants to speak to you. You've been listening to junk all week long. Why not open your heart to the Word of God all day long? Verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant, God said, with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. And then he goes on to say, you'll notice, nor your seed's mouth, nor your seed's seeds. Now, folks, I hope you understand and appreciate the power and the import of this singular promise in the Word of God. God is saying that no matter what it looks like, no matter how many snake eggs are hatched and spider webs are spun, no matter how many people grope for the wall in the darkness with the lies and the falsehoods and the frauds and the injustices and the perversions and the darkness in the land, God's words, all of God's words that he placed in people's mouths, and that's by his grace, and you have it. Those words will go forth then into Isaiah's seed and his seed's seeds. And it says, and from thenceforth, and the last words of the entire chapter are the words, forever. Forever. In other words, God's word speaks to you and I in 2021 just as powerfully and miraculously and perfectly in this land as he did in Israel in the days of Isaiah, or as he did in this land in 1940. Or 1840, or 1740. By the way, that's why if we had time, we could add a fifth truth to the message, which is God sends. Because you'll notice how the next chapter, chapter 60, begins in verse 1. Rise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Hey, you know what he's saying? Arise and shine, campers, because it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year to take the light of God's word into an ever darkening world. And to rejoice in the knowledge that God sees your children and your children's children if Jesus tarries. And he has already promised a blessing. Our heads are bowed for a moment and our eyes are closed. I don't know what your need is this morning. I obviously don't. In every car in this parking lot and every home who's watching, I don't know all of your needs. I don't know the spiritual condition of every person and every heart and what you need from the Lord. But I do know that the Holy Spirit of God knows. We read a moment ago, he said, my spirit that is upon thee. Isn't that glorious? Well, in the New Testament, my spirit that is in thee, if you're saved. And his word. But I do know that he knows, and he will speak to your heart today if you'll open your heart to his word. If you're saved today, you rejoice as I did as a boy in Turkey, thinking that I was experiencing some great injustice and I wanted my father to send over some sorties or something into that Turkish airspace and take care of those kids. My father had it all in control. Our Father sees and has it all under control. If you're here today and you're not one of his children, I mentioned the Holy Spirit being in you. That Holy Spirit is the power of the new birth. When you accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your Savior, today is this day of salvation for you. If you're at home and you're not saved, today is the day of salvation for you. That means you recognize you're a sinner. You recognize the Bible says the wages of that sin is death, which means eternal death or hell. And you recognize that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, shed his blood for your sins. Now, he's calling on you to accept Christ as Savior and Lord. And right where you are, you do that. You open your heart. Lord Jesus, save me. I'm lost. I need you. Today's the day. But Christians in this place, recognize that 2021, you know, none of this is taking God by surprise. None of it. There are no uh-ohs up in heaven. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? So you know what that calls on us to do? Trust him and follow him. And if we become the prey because we depart from evil, that's exactly what God said would happen. They that depart from evil become the prey in a land of darkness. Eventually, God's people made a difference there. Eventually, and ultimately, God wins, and we will make a difference here. And I hope you'll submit yourself 2021 to that end, to trust him and hear him always, being faithful to his local church, faithful to his word and fellowship with God's people. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word today in a land where people are groping for the wall, in a land that even at noonday, it's as if they have no eyes. Thank you that you have enlightened us and given us the light of truth. And I ask, Father, now that we will trust it always and we will obey it and we will continually hear it. No matter what happens in the days and the weeks and the months of this coming year of 2021, thank you, God, for your promises that the seed and the seed, your word will not depart from their mouth either. So please help us to be faithful to that end. To those who are listening or watching or here today who are not saved, convict them. Please use us as instruments in your hand to bring them to Christ, to the gospel. We love you today and we love your word. I pray, God, you'll help us all to be faithful. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.